So you'll recall in these verses we've seen, this is so instructive regarding the ministry. Christ sent me not to baptize, that is, not to get results, not for statistics, not for decisions, not for any other reason, but to preach the gospel of Christ. Everything else falls into place from there. Literally everything else. That's the way God, if you want to know what God's doing on this earth, I'll tell you how he's doing it. He's doing it by the preaching of the gospel. That's how he's doing it. He's blessing his people. He's saving his people. He's comforting his people. This world, God's world is his people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The ones who he gave his son for, that's his world. And what he's doing in this world, he's doing it by the preaching of the gospel. Every bit of it. Now, not to baptize, but to preach, not with the wisdom of words. When Paul tells why God sent him, what he's doing, he qualifies how he is to preach the gospel. Christ sent me to preach the gospel, and he sent me to do it this way, not with wisdom of words. Now, when there's a qualification like that, you know that the reason he has to qualify that is because the typical, the normal reality of things is that when people presume to speak for God, they do it with the wisdom of men's words. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to qualify this. They do it by going to Bible colleges and getting degrees, and they're able to memorize the scriptures like the Pharisees did. They know their way around the Bible. And they're able, with their intellect, to devise ways to preach it that's not quite so offensive to people. But the problem is, when that happens, the cross of Christ, the only hope a sinner has, is made of none effect. You see what he's saying here? Not with wisdom of words, and here's why. Lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. There's a reason why Paul told Timothy what he did in 2 Timothy 2:1. Listen to it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the doctrine. Be strong in the preaching. Be strong in the ministry. Endure hardness, he says in this same context, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul learned the gospel from his mother, his grandmother, and Paul. Paul doesn't say here, now therefore, my son, be sure you find a good seminary now and get some degrees and learn, you know, get a doctor's degree in theology. The gospel is not that complicated. It's not that complicated. What our text says is that it is vital not to complicate the gospel. It's necessary not to make it that complex. It is the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, you really are just learning who Christ is. That's what you're learning. And that's all you're learning. Everything else falls into place from there. We've talked about this, but think about this with me tonight. You really just need to know who he is to know that salvation is not a crapshoot. It's not a game of chance. You just need to know who he is to know that. That's all you need to know. It's not, I hope, I'm trying, I want to. He's God. He's God. He does as he pleases in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. So, of course, there is what is called in the scripture the purpose of God according to election. Whatever that purpose is, that's going to stand. And that purpose might stand, God has loved a people and hated some people. Now that's because he's God. Look at the context of that. Does he not say to Pharaoh whatever he wants to? Pharaoh is no match for him. Nobody is. Nobody can thwart his purposes. Nobody can defy him and get away with it. He raised Pharaoh up in order to dump him into hell. In other words, Paul's saying he's God. He will do with you as he pleases. And then he talks about how sinners are saved. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God showing mercy on a sinner. So when you talk about how a sinner is saved, you got to talk about who he is. He raises up one and puts down another. He'll raise you up just to put you in hell so everybody knows who he is. You just need to know Christ, who he is, to know that he died, whatever he died to accomplish is accomplished. If nobody ever brought up the subject of limited atonement or effectual atonement, think about it. If you just didn't hear anything but about who Christ is and what he did on Calvary, you'd sit there thinking, he's God. It's just logical. He's God, so whatever he did came there to do. He got it done, whatever he did. Let's figure out what he came to the cross to do. Let's see if he told us why he came to this earth and hung on a cross. Well, you know, sure enough, look there. He did tell us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, okay. Well, then when he died on Calvary, he saved somebody. Let's not even get into the big old books about effectual atonement. Well, no, let's do. Because it's a vital subject. And a believer is going to delight in that, in the truth of that. But you wouldn't even have to read those books to understand that, would you? You just need to know who he is. That's what our text is saying. We preach the gospel of Christ, not with wisdom of man's words. We don't preach the points that men have deduced from the Bible. We just preach the Bible. That's what God said. God didn't say all that other stuff. That's you trying to tell people what God meant by what he said. Let's preach what God said. He hath spoken unto us, Romans chapter 1, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. And you, that's all you need to know him. This is important now. Think about this with me. If you don't know that Christ accomplished what he died in order to accomplish, and most people don't know that. They do not know that. If you don't know that Christ died to accomplish the salvation of his elect, and he accomplished the salvation of his elect, your problem is not that you believe false doctrine. That is not your problem. The problem is you don't know Christ. Mark that down. That's important now. It's important to understand that. You just need to know who he is. That's what we're trying to find out. We're not trying to go through here and formulate a system of theology. We're trying to find out who God is in the person of his Son. And everything else falls into place from there. If you know him, of course you believe in predestination. Think about it. Nobody would ever have to write a book on predestination if you just see who he is in the Word of God. Never even bring up the subject specifically. If you just think about who God is, who Christ is, you would know that it means he runs everything to a predetermined end. Of course he does. He said he did. You know, God's not just waiting to see what's going to happen like the rest of us. And the reason we know that is because we know something about him, not about the doctrine. It's ridiculous to think that God's just kind of sitting back like we are. Let's see what happens now, you know. Just need to know him. That's what Paul's saying here. Not with wisdom of words. You see in our text how that the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. Well, to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else is foolishness. You believe God's just waiting to see what's going to happen? Do you really think that God put the success or failure of all of His eternal purpose of grace and salvation on you? Really? Everything hinges on what you do about it? Your problem is not false doctrine. Your problem is you don't know Him. We have not so learned Christ. Everything else is foolish. Now, why would man want or need to impose the wisdom of man upon that which is divine? The one qualification here is a not. Isn't that interesting? All you have to do with regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ is just not mess it up. Just stay out of the way of it. Not with wisdom of man's word. Why would somebody impose their wisdom on that which is divine? That's a simple answer, isn't it? Because they don't like that which is divine. And they're determined to change it. They're determined to pervert it. They're determined to twist it. They're not happy with it. So they set about to figure out a way to deliberately make it void. The only thing man hates worse than God's law is God's grace. They set about deliberately to make it void. Where is boasting then in the way God saves a sinner? It's excluded. We've got to get rid of that somehow. Because we're in the boasting business. That's what make of none effect means, to make void, to set aside, to make empty. How do they do that? How do they figure out a way to deliberately make it void? Well, they ignore that God is God. That's what we've been saying. You just need to really know that God is God to refute all of the false doctrine of false religion. They ignore that. That's too simple. Be still and know that I'm God. Well, we can do better than that. Let's get our brains rolling and let's figure out a system that we control that causes sinners to do what we want them to do, which is give us money, come down here and get connected to the church now. They've got to start living right, which means give us money and come here and support the ministry. They ignore that man is hopelessly and helplessly evil. In other words, the simple gospel truth of the Bible, they reject it. They utterly reject it. They ignore that Christ is God in human flesh. Well, wait a minute, Chris. Now the Free Will Baptists believe that Christ is God in human flesh. Well, they say they do. If you ask them, they'd say, yeah, we believe that. But does God in human flesh try? Does He? Honestly now, is His hand shortened that it cannot save? Does that sound like God in human flesh? He said it wasn't. He said His hand is not short. That He can save. When He wants to save, He can save. They ignore the plain, clear word of God and concoct a scheme of salvation that depends upon the work, decision, and will of man. Because they can manipulate all of that. If you just tell people, you're shut up to Christ. Here's who He is and what He did. You're shut up to Him. That's what the apostles did in the early church. They said, you crucified the Lord of glory. You're going to have to bow to Him. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You nailed Him to a cross and spit on Him. You're going to have to come to Him for mercy. And then walked away. You don't have any control in that scenario, do you? You're just telling people who Christ is and what He accomplished and their need of Him. and leaving it to God to do what he will. Oh, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. You see, the will of man can be manipulated. The decisions of men can be manipulated. And that's what religion wants. They want people they can manipulate for their benefit. That's what they get. That's what they're doing. I've been in the big middle of it. And that voids the cross. It makes the cross of none effect. It's not about the cross anymore. It's about you. It's about what are you going to do with Jesus. Not what did Christ do on Calvary. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. This is Paul to the church at Galatia. Listen to it again. I do not frustrate. That word means make void. It's very akin to the word in our text. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, and you look up that word law, it's anything, any law, any rule, any obedience to anything, then Christ is dead in vain. That's our text. If you did anything to get saved, if even getting saved is something that you can even tolerate the sound of, you've voided the cross. You've made it of no effect by your works. How do they do it? How else do they do it? How do you make void the cross of Christ? It's not literally. That's the power of God. You can't stop that. But what Paul is saying here is if what they said was true, it would void the cross. And it does void the cross for them. Because if you believe that, then the cross, then Christ shall profit you nothing. Here's how else they do it. They do it by limiting the atonement of Christ. That might be a little bit of a shock to some theologians somewhere, some smart people that cross T's and dot I's when it comes to the scriptures. But they do it by limiting the atonement of Christ. They limit the power of Christ's atoning blood. His blood can make salvation possible, available, obtainable, but it can't save anybody. That voids the cross. It makes the cross of Christ of none effect. And let's think about this for a second while we're in this verse. Can there be anything more blasphemous and horrible than that? Than to make the cross of Christ of none effect? The most wonderful thing, the only thing that ever happened, that everything else that happens revolves around. Time and eternity revolves around the cross. And you've made it of none effect. Is there anything more horrible? You've just destroyed the only hope that a sinner has. The truth is much more simple. And look, when we try to give complicated explanations of the truth, we're just as guilty as they are in a sense. It's not complicated. The simple truth is this. Christ died to save his people. And when he died, he saved his people. That sentence right there destroys the religions of this world. You think about that. If he actually accomplished everything that he died to accomplish, then this world has no religion anymore. None. It's utterly destroyed. Everything that they do in their religious activities and pursuits, that's made of none effect now. because Christ accomplished salvation. False preachers with words of man's wisdom complicate that and make void all hope that a sinner has, because a real sinner needs the Lord to actually save him. A real sinner doesn't need another chance to do the right thing. A real sinner needs a Savior. Christ crucified is your hope. Your will, your decisions, and your works are your problem. They still are as a believer. The wisdom of man makes the cross of Christ of none effect. And the cross of Christ makes the wisdom of man. Well, you see the word in our text? Well, it's actually in the context in verse 20. Foolishness. That's really worse than void, isn't it? That's worse than empty. Foolishness. It's idiocy. It was idiocy for Adam to hide from God in the weeds. And it is idiocy for any sinner to hide from God behind a fig leaf apron fashioned of their own works and will. It's still idiocy. The cross is foolishness to them, and their false gospel is foolishness to us. So it's a stalemate? Not quite. Look at verse 18 again. Because they rely on their own thinking, because their whole system of religion is what somebody came up with to explain what God means by what he said, and still all of their religion being what God said. Because of that. Because they rely on their own thinking. Because they defer to what seems fair to them. And the intellectual doctrines of devils that makes them comfortable with their false god. What's the result of all that? They perish. They perish. That's why Paul said, I fear. Lest as the serpent beguiled Eve, that you might, through his subtlety, that you might be removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. You perish. Because we look, verse 18 says this now, because we look to the cross, because Christ crucified is our only hope, where are we? We're saved. Well, that's deep, isn't it? No, it's just the truth. That's really not that deep, is it? It's just simple. Just simple. Look unto me, and be ye saved. While the cross is foolishness to them because it destroys the efficacy of their works and will, the false gospel is foolishness to us because it destroys the efficacy of Christ's blood. You see, the devisings of men destroy the efficacy of the cross. And as I said, not literally. The cross, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God unto salvation. They don't literally destroy that. They can't stop what God has purposed to do and is doing and has done. It's just in theory. Or in other words, if that false gospel, and there's really just one, there's just one false gospel. It's Christ or you. Grace or works. If that were true, it would destroy the efficacy of the cross. And as I said, it does. Them believing it destroys it for them. Paul said, if you be circumcised, if you keep the law, if you do anything to establish your righteousness before God, but Christ shall profit you nothing. So the cross is made of none effect to you that believe that false gospel. In the cross, so you see again the mutual exclusion. These are mutually exclusive. The truth, that's why I said this destroys all religion. The truth that Christ accomplished what he died to accomplish. And the error that man has to do something to make what Christ did effectual. Walk an aisle, say a prayer, it doesn't matter what it is. If you had to do that right there in order to make the cross effectual, you're a goner. You're a goner. And mutually, the cross, not in theory, but actually, literally, and in fact, destroys the efficacy of all of man's works. Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If you add one work, if you add lifting your little finger to the grace of God, it's not grace anymore. It's God helping you up to a point. It's God doing all he can do and then leaving it up to you. That's the gospel of this religious world. False gospel. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's one or the other. One destroys the other and the other destroys the one. So man's way is foolishness to God, and to those who know God, God's way. Well, man, to those who know God, man's way is foolishness. To God and those who know God, and God's way is foolishness to man. But how do we feel about God's way? Here's what we say about it again, verse 18. We see them saying, that gospel, that you're a cult. They'll say, we're a cult. You believe that God just picked out some and just happens to be what the Bible says. And of course, we have the same disdain for the free will, man-centered, false gospel of this world. What does a believer think of the gospel? Well, to us, by the grace of God, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. Paul said in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. Unto us which are saved. When God saves a sinner. Verse 18 there. Unto us which are saved. When God saves us. We know one thing for sure. The way he saved us. Is the cross. And the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is my salvation. I'm not saved by anything I did, ever will do, or think, or say. I'm saved because Christ did what he did on Calvary for me. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Amen. Let's pray.